Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, who serves the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio to another week. This is Shane Vanderhart, and in studio got, of course, our faithful, wonderful, ever so wise producer, Ron. Who's got a mic in front of him, so this could be a dangerous thing.
It could be very dangerous, yes.
week two of Brian ditching us. No, Brian's just, he's been busy with work, and a couple days ago he was in Kansas. I'm not entirely sure where he is today, but he's been on the road, and hopefully I think he will be with us next week.
So that sounds great.
We miss you, Brian.
We do indeed.
Because I know he listens to the podcast and he said he listened live this week. So, you know, come back soon. anyway, looking forward to Iowa playing Northwestern, and hopefully they keep the undefeated streak alive.
Indeed.
I hope they're not taking this game for granted. Northwestern's tough, so we'll be interested to see. Interesting to see if they can hold on, because the pressure's starting to mount now. This, like, suddenly they're ranked, and actually this will be the third week they're ranked now. And I just don't want to go to their heads.
Indeed.
You know. So just, you know, stay humble, boys. Play a tough game. Play Hawkeye football, and I think they'll prevail. So
yep.
Also, just today, I went through to get some coffee. Went through the drive-thru. I have to say, I encountered probably the happiest guy on the other side of the drive-thru. Mike, I pull up. He said, "Top of the morning to you."
It's indeed.
Like, and he just sounded. I mean, he made me smile.
That's
and
good.
It's like,
that's very good.
If you do this type of work, this is how you should be. Because for one thing, I think you enjoy it more, and you make those around you happier, which. It's great to hear people take joy in the work. I mean, maybe he was just sleep deprived and he's just acting goofy. I don't know, but hey, it was refreshing, and it actually made me smile. I rarely have that experience to drive through.
Yeah, I imagine they do good business with someone like that there too.
I'm sure they do. It's like, I'm just going to go through to hear that guy, because
you bet
he cheers me up. So
you bet.
Well, speaking of cheering you up. Maybe this isn't the best segue, but we want to talk about the Democrat debate. We've talked a lot about GOP debates, but the Democrats had their first debate. How did it go? Oh, I had a chance to. I didn't watch it live. I went back and watched it online, and I have to say, I struggle to call it the Democratic Party anymore. I think it's more the Socialist Party. Because it seems like everybody, except for Jim Webb, clamored to get as far left as they could possibly go. So, for instance, I'm trying to remember which candidate I heard this week that said this, but it was a good statement. I think it's maybe Mike Huckabee said this. He said Joe Biden's not going to get in because there's nowhere more room on the left.
Yes. Yes. It's kind of packed in over there.
Right.
For sure.
So anyway, yeah, everybody's like, I'm going to show him even further left than Bernie Sanders, the socialist.
Indeed.
Okay. The socialist. So, we'll play clip one here. Hillary Clinton discusses Keystone.
Everybody on this stage has changed a position or two. We've been around a cumulative quite some period of time. We know that if you are learning, you're going to change your position. I never took a position on Keystone until I took a position on Keystone.
Okay, that was profound. The fact
Does that mean she's not learning if she never took a position?
Apparently not. First of all, her comment about we've all been around collectively a long period of time. We can now call, based off the Democratic field, the Democrats are really the old white race.
There you go.
Or, party, because Martin O'Malley, I don't know how old he is, but everybody else is like probably in their 60s at least. So anyway, I just want to point out a couple things. She never took a position. Back in
surprise.
back in October 16th, 2010, Clinton states that she was inclined to approve the Keystone XL pipeline when she spoke at the Commonwealth Club. Maybe they're fudging. They say, well, she said inclined. That's not necessarily taking a position.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
then she came out in September out in opposition to the Keystone pipeline. So anyway, I never took a position on Keystone until I took a position on Keystone. Okay, whatever. Let's play clip four.
Okay. Secretary Clinton, Governor O'Malley wants to open up Obamacare to millions of undocumented immigrants and their children.
Because that sounds like a great
90,000
idea.
90,000 people right here in Nevada. Do you?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure every child gets health care. That's why I helped to create the Children's Health Insurance Program. And I want to support states that are expanding health care and including undocumented children and others. I want to open up the opportunity for immigrants to be able to buy in to the exchanges under the Affordable Care Act. I think to go beyond that, as I understand what Governor O'Malley has recommended, so that they would get the same subsidies, I think that is it raises so many issues. It would be very difficult to administer. It needs to be part of comprehensive immigration reform when we finally do get to it.
Governor O'Malley.
Okay. This is a reversal of a position she took before. She before was against illegal immigrants having health coverage through Obamacare. Mm-hmm. So, flip flop. Okay, because we got to go march to the left.
Yep.
Speaking of the left, Bernie Sanders.
There you go.
Explains. Okay, we have to preface this. I like just saying he's a socialist, but to be fair. He says he's a democratic socialist, whatever that means. But he's going to explain it. So let's play this next clip. Clip five.
So you call yourself a democratic socialist. How can any kind of socialist win a general election in the United States?
Well, we're going to win because first we're going to explain what democratic socialism is. And what democratic socialism is about is saying that it is immoral and wrong that the top 0.1% in this country own almost 90%. Almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. That it is wrong today in a rigged economy that 57% of all new income is going to the top 1%. That when you look around the world, you see every other major country providing health care to all people as a right, except the United States. You see every other major country saying...
Let's pause it for a second. Okay, 51% of all the new income goes to the top 1%. First of all, I don't know if that stat is accurate. However, who are the ones that are doing all the investing?
The top 1%.
There you go. Okay, go ahead.
Moms, that when you have a baby, we're not going to separate you from your newborn baby because we are going to have, medical and family paid leave like every other country on earth.
I'm trying to picture why he has events that are like, 9,000 to 10,000 people, because a speaker he is not. Holy cow. Go ahead.
Some of the principles that I believe in, and I think we should look to countries like Denmark, like Sweden, and Norway.
Beautiful.
And learn from what they have accomplished for their working people.
Denmark is a country that has a population of 5.6 million people. The question is really about electability here, and that's what I'm trying to get at. The Republican attack against you in a general election.
Kudos to Anderson Cooper, because I don't know if a lot of people have picked this up, but he's like, you want to emulate Denmark, but Denmark has a lot less people than we have.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, socialism, maybe, no, it doesn't even work in Denmark. It doesn't work in Sweden. It doesn't work but certainly would not work in a country the size of ours. Okay, go ahead.
It writes itself. You supported the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. You honeymooned in the Soviet Union. And just this weekend, you said you're not a capitalist. Doesn't that ad write itself?
Well, first of all, let's look at the facts. The facts that are very simple. Republicans win when there is a low voter turnout, and that is what happened last
November. Oh, that's
November.
The only time we win.
63% of the American people didn't vote, Anderson. 80% of young people didn't vote. We are bringing out huge turnouts and creating excitement all over this country. Democrats at the White House on down will win when there is excitement and a large voter turnout, and that is what this campaign is doing.
You don't consider yourself a capitalist, though.
Do I consider myself part of the casino capitalist process by which so few have so much and so many have so little, by which Wall Street's greed and recklessness wreck this economy? No, I don't. I believe in a society where all people do well, not just a handful of billionaires.
Okay. Forget what you said there. Look at the applause. People went wild when he said this, when he said, I am not a capitalist. This is the Democratic Party.
That's crazy.
I don't even know what to say, Ron. Moving on. Lincoln Chafee, who was probably, you know, Mr. Snooze Fest in the debate, he's the former, he actually was a Republican at one point in time, the former governor of Rhode Island, because I'm going to assume most of us don't know who Lincoln Chafee is. Anyway, he challenges Clinton on email, on her emails, and she refuses to respond. Go ahead.
I know that plays well in this room, but I got to be honest, Governor Chafee, for the record, on the campaign trail, you've said a different thing. You said this is a huge issue standing here in front of Secretary Clinton. Are you willing to say that to her face?
Absolutely. We have to repair American credibility after we told the world that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, which he didn't. So there's an issue of American credibility out there. So anytime someone's running to be our leader and a world leader, which the American president is, credibility is an issue out there with the world, and we have repair work to be done. I think we need someone that has the best in ethical standards as our next president. That's how I feel.
Secretary Clinton, do you want to respond?
No.
Governor.
Okay, well.
She made that very clear, didn't she?
She did. And a lot of. And Bernie Sanders, you know, he said too, in the courses, the people are sick of hearing about the emails. Only the people who like Hillary Clinton are sick of hearing about
that's
the
true.
Emails. Everybody else is interested because they want to see where the scandal goes.
That's right.
We'll actually have teeth. Okay. But on one hand, it's like another day, another Clinton scandal. I mean, you know, this is nothing new.
Yeah, kind of business as usual.
And I think they put on Teflon to wear every morning, her and Bill, because nothing seems to stick. So I don't have a whole lot of faith that, you know, this will derail her. It could definitely hurt. We're running out of time, so I want to choose. Okay, Jim Webb seemed to be one of the lone voices of sanity on the stage. Go ahead.
Your rating from the NRA, you once had an A rating from the NRA. You said gun violence goes down when more people are allowed to carry guns. Would encouraging more people to be armed be part of your response to a mass shooting?
Look, there are two fundamental issues that are involved in this discussion, and we need to pay respect to both of them. The first is the issue of who should be kept from having guns and using firearms. And we have done not a good job on that. A lot of them are criminals, and a lot of the people who are getting killed are members of gangs inside our urban areas, and a lot of them are mentally incapacitated. And the shooting in Virginia Tech in 07, this individual had received medical care for mental illness from three different professionals who were not allowed to share the information. So we do need background checks. We need to keep the people who should not have guns away from them. But we have to respect the tradition in this country of people who want to defend themselves and their family from violence.
Senator,
there are hot.
All right, let's go. We'll go ahead and there's one other clip. He is actually a pro Second Amendment. He's the only one on the Democratic stage who believes in your right to keep and bear arms. And I think we got enough time to play one last clip. Hillary Clinton, she makes an interesting comment about Planned Parenthood.
People say that. It's always the Republicans or their sympathizers who say you can't have paid leave, you can't provide health care. They don't mind having big government to interfere with a woman's right to choose and to try to take down Planned Parenthood. They're fine with big government when it comes to that.
Defunding Planned Parenthood is big government? That is fascinating. Because I thought, you know, funneling taxpayer money to Planned Parenthood would be big government. But apparently also we're interfering with women's health care. I am so tired of that narrative because it is so false. False. There are far more federally qualified health centers in Iowa than there are Planned Parenthood centers. And Planned Parenthood centers, they, especially in Iowa, they hardly do anything. They might do an occasional breast exam. They don't offer mammograms.
Mm-hmm.
They hardly do anything else. They hand out birth control, and they abort babies. That's basically what Planned Parenthood does, especially in Iowa. Mm-hmm. So this is crazy. So,
about 30 seconds left.
Okay, so we. You know, it's just, it's amazing to me that you have somebody who makes a comment like that. Defunding Planned Parenthood is big government. No, we want to protect the right to life, which is an inalienable right. And it's enshrined in our original documents, Mrs. Clinton. It's not big government. Hey, just want to make a quick note. We have our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing coming up. That's October 31st. And we just added Governor Mike Huckabee to our speaker lineup. We'll join Governor Jindal and Rafael Cruz. So go to ctbriefing2015.com and get registered today. Time is running out. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance you need. So we have on the line a very special guest, State Senator Mark Shelgren from Ottumwa. Is that correct, right? Ottumwa?
That is correct.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. And you decided you're going to run for Congress in Iowa's 2nd Congressional District. And the question I always like to ask every single candidate that appears on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, or I get a chance to talk to in person, online, with video, anyway, why in the world would you want to run for Congress? I mean, it's such a thankless job. I mean, the congressional approval ratings are in the tank. Mm-hmm. So
they are. Here's the thing about it, though, is when you really love your country and you really care about what you're doing, I mean, I've been a state senator now for 5 years. I've been really blessed in the fact that I have some good businesses and I get to employ some great people. But the problem ends up being is all that stuff that I'm doing, I would lose it completely if the federal government fails to do their job right.
Mm, very true.
And so it's just one of those things where, you know, you look at the weak link in the chain, and right now, unfortunately, the federal government is our weak link.
Yeah, because of overregulation. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself, because a lot of our listeners probably aren't. They probably don't know who you are. So assume they know, you know, nothing about you. So you've been in the Senate 5 years. What have you been doing? Yeah. What did you do leading up to that? And what are you currently doing?
Well, there's this great song that I get to listen to every once in a while. It says, you know, how can I be old and wise if I've never been young and crazy? You know,
I listen to that song too. Yep.
Exactly. Well, I grew up in California. I lived in Hawaii for a while, and I decided that I was going to be a scientist. That was my goal.
Okay.
And in life, things happen, and we get sidetracked. And I got sidetracked into becoming a restaurant manager, and decided that I need to go back to school and finish up my dream. I went back. I studied astrophysics and geophysics. And a buddy of mine said, "How would you like to go to a party in Iowa? You got to bring your bike." And so I went on RAGBRAI and had an opportunity to meet wonderful people. Met my wife, who was born and raised in Ottumwa, Iowa, and said, "This is the place for me." And I moved to Iowa, and I started a company making parts for wheelchairs.
Okay,
and I've been doing that for about 20 years now.
So okay, so you moved from California to Iowa. When in this process did you become a Republican? I mean, because you know, you think if somebody grew up in Hawaii and California, there's right. probably very little chance that you're going to be exposed to many conservative values.
Well, actually, my dad's a Republican.
Okay.
And I remember when I was young, you know, I walked in our back door and there was a big, huge picture of Ronald Reagan on our refrigerator as you walk in the back door to our house. And so I got exposed to a good Christian values and somewhat of a Republican way of thinking when I was young. But when I was in college, of course, it was different. It was like, you know what, I don't need to ascribe to anything. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be an independent. And, you know, and quite honestly, you know, enjoying life doesn't really follow either Republican or Democrat values per se. But as you mature, mm-hmm. when you get married, you have kids, and you see the priorities in your life grow, it becomes pretty obvious that the values that are espoused by the Republican Party just make more sense to me.
Okay. So you mentioned when talking about the federal government, looking at your businesses, and you're saying, you know, if they're not doing their job right, they're going to, you know, basically kill my businesses. What are you already experiencing as a small business owner with federal regulations that just, you know, irk you?
Well, there are so many issues that we're dealing with right now, and the regulations are only part of it. Give you an example. We have a wheelchair manufacturing company. We manufacture components for wheelchairs. And when we machine a part, whether out of aluminum or out of steel, we've got to send those parts to another state to be finished.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's one of the baseline things, which is, and it just happens to be, you know, a process by how the EPA defines certain territories and what they can accomplish, what they can't accomplish. If I want a good anodized, for instance, I've got to go to Minnesota as opposed to Iowa. If I want a good plating system, I've got to go to Nebraska instead of Iowa. And in a lot of things, we can't do it at all here. We used to use components in our soft molds, which is a urethane type molding process,
mm-hmm.
and in the United States, we're no longer able to do it that way, and so we're competing against the best process in every other country, and we have to make alternative processes. And of course, the quality then suffers for it, and we spend more money on it.
Great. And have you, has your business been hit by Obamacare like a lot of other small businesses?
We have been. The first year, our health insurance went up 40%, and last year it went up 24%. Additionally, it's been pretty difficult to deal with. And what that's really done for us is we've had to make the decision that as opposed to hiring more people and providing for more families in this area, we're actually hiring few people and we're going to automated systems, robotics. It's the only way we can stay in business.
So thank you, Obamacare. Yeah, that's a great, not a great, but it's a poignant picture of how this Obamacare is a job killer. Wanted to ask you too. We mentioned the congressional approval rating is in the tank. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think you could get any worse than where it's actually. I think it's in the not even the teens. I think it's even less than that now.
Right. And well deserved, by the way.
Pardon?
And well deserved. I mean, that's
where
they deserve to be.
Right. Well, and a lot of that has to do with the leadership that we've seen. And first of all, can you describe a time when you've gone against your own party leadership while in the state Senate?
I think it would be easier for me to describe a time that I actually went along with what they wanted.
Okay.
yeah, I can. I'll give you a quick example. For me, I've always told people that, you know, most of my life I was an independent, not because I was wishy-washy between the parties, but because I'm pretty much a staunch conservative on values, especially when it comes to constitutional issues. I believe when you swear an oath to the Constitution, you better damn well know what that means and keep your word. I had a situation where the leadership, the Republican leadership, called me in and said, what you're saying and the way you're saying it is upsetting some of our donors, and we really need you to change what you're doing. And, you know, and all the leaders were there, and they're explaining that it was making it difficult on them to fundraise with me out there talking about the issues and talking about why we should be doing things differently. And I pretty much said, well, I appreciate your opinion on this, but the answer is no.
Okay. I'm sure they took that very well.
Well, I don't think they really knew what to do with it. I mean, that the challenge ends up being is they were used to telling members what to do, and the members said, okay, I'll do it. They put their head down. They're like being chastised like by the principal of the school or something.
Right.
They're not used to somebody who already has set values and says, well, I appreciate that's your opinion, but I disagree with you, and therefore I'm not going to follow the lead of what you're giving me. You know, I've disagreed with the governor, I think, about six times, okay, mostly in the rules review side of it. And in those situations, I've been very respectful in my disagreement with him.
Sure.
But for the most part, he's changed his mind and said, well, I appreciate the fact you pointed this out. I've talked to my team, and we've decided that you're right. And, you know, and it's worked out really well. And there's been other times where he said, we just fundamentally disagree, and I'm okay with that also.
Okay. All right. So if elected, what will be some of your top priorities going to Washington, D.C.?
Well, I think that any politician, any elected official who didn't prioritize jobs and the creation of careers for society is really missing the boat. I think, you know, anybody should tell you that as far as the first most pragmatic thing, which is, you know, we need to make sure that in the United States we have the ability for these great educated people that we're spending a huge amount of money on to go out and actually be productive citizens. And so I think creating an environment where private sector jobs can be created and good paying, you know, things that make you feel good when you go home at the end of the day that you've accomplished something, those are the type of careers we're trying to create. So I think that's the most important issue.
Great. Now, I just want to discuss some issues with you. For instance, the funding Planned Parenthood has become kind of a rallying cry among conservatives. Actually, it's been that way for a long time, but it's become more of the forefront with those videos that were released over the summer. Do you believe that defunding Planned Parenthood is something that we should, you know, shut government down over if we need to do that for leverage?
Well, I don't think we would shut government down. I think that if we had the courage of our convictions, we would simply say the role of Congress is to put forward spending bills.
Mm-hmm.
We are excluding any spending from Planned Parenthood from these spending bills. And if President Obama would like to veto all of the spending bills for a political reason, he's shutting government down.
Yes.
I think it's really clear.
Yeah.
But I think you have to stand on your values. And I think that we have allowed the media and, for the most part, the Democrats to define the vocabulary that's being used.
Very true.
And we fail in this. We fail in articulating why they're wrong.
What are some other bills that you could support, you know, pro-life bills that you'd be able to support if you were going to Congress, or ones that maybe you would even submit yourself?
Well, I've written quite a few pro-life bills. I can tell you that I actually have one being drafted right now dealing specifically with the Planned Parenthood issue. I believe that the best way to solve these problems isn't necessarily saying we're outright banning these things, but what we would say is, like, for instance, the bill that I'm having drafted currently deals specifically with any assisted abortion, so any medically assisted abortion, requires to have a medical professional ascertain the age of the fetus. And the fetus is then turned over to a licensed mortician in the state of Iowa for proper burial or disposal. And that eliminates the entire process of being able to sell these babies for money.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it also adds a cost to the abortion itself, because we want to make sure that something like this isn't cheap and easy and disposable.
Hmm. Okay. Would you support a late-term abortion ban, however?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, there's no question at all. As a matter of fact, I've already done that multiple times as a state senator.
Okay.
My voting record with regards to pro-life is 100% in the state of Iowa, but I would extend that to the federal level. I mean, I believe strongly that a child is a gift from God. When people ask me if I'm pro-life, I tell them, actually, I'm not. And the reason I tell them I'm not is because I'm pro-innocent life. I believe that innocent children need to be protected. But I believe that when someone has made decisions in their life that turn them evil, I am a full supporter of capital punishment. So therefore, I'm actually pro-innocent life and not just pro-life.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Looking at, you know, we've got our federal government's debt is well, it seems insurmountable. What would you do, or what types of plans would you push in Congress to try to bring down the debt?
Well, we have a lot to do. Obviously, we have gotten to the point now where we're becoming desperate. Here's what has to happen first and foremost. We have to stop spending money and giving it to countries that hate us. We have to make sure that we're taking care of this country and our economics first and foremost. And then by cutting our costs to make sure we don't get any further into the hole, we need to make sure that we can spur that private investment into economics, jobs, and that's going to generate future revenue, which will continue to help pay down the debt. This is a fiscal responsibility issue, and legislators up to this point have failed miserably in that, and we need someone who's going to go up there and clearly, concisely tell them, I will not support any budget that exceeds any spending that exceeds the budget. And I think we need to have a balanced budget amendment in the U.S. Constitution, like we do in the state of Iowa, because even though politicians can play games, this is too important for us to continue kicking the can down the road.
Great. And as far as tax reform, what kind of tax reform would you be supportive of? Because we've heard from the different presidential candidates we literally trip on here in Iowa, we're hearing all sorts of different tax reform plans.
Well, my plan would be that we actually would start by increasing unemployment in the state in the country, because we'd get rid of a huge amount of our federal employees. I don't think we need to have an IRS that's so overwhelming, overburdensome, that it's crushing small businesses. And so we need to have, and I've heard the terms fair tax, et cetera. We need to have a tax structure that's very clean, minimalistic, so we can get our responsibilities, bills paid. Mm-hmm. But we need to leave more money in the pockets of people who are willing to spend it in the country, investing in jobs and creation of wealth. I mean, that's how this country operates, which is people generate the wealth. The gross domestic product is not generated by the government. It's generated by individual small businesses and large businesses that then pay their taxes. I think everyone should be paying. I'm a proud taxpayer. Mm-hmm. I am proud of the fact that I go out and work hard. I'm able to contribute to the system. I don't want to be someone who's dependent on the system. And we need more people who are paying taxes and less people who are receiving tax dollars and not contributing.
Great. So what kind of a response have you been getting so far after your announcement?
Actually, I've gotten phenomenal response. I think I've got pretty good promotion. I went to the airliner in Iowa City, and I think people were surprised that I would make my announcement in Iowa City. I'm not afraid of having the conversation or the debate about what we should be doing. And I also have a lot of Democrats who have supported my campaign because they know that I'll do what I say I'm going to do. They may not agree with me, but they respect me for it.
Great. Thank you so much. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. And this segment is our traditional news rundown. And the first story I want to bring up is from NBC News. Trump and Carson threatened to drop out of the CNBC debate. What? Well, you may ask, why? Well, I'll tell you. Donald Trump and Ben Carson are both threatening to boycott the next Republican presidential debate if CNBC, who is hosting the event, and the Republican National Committee do not change the stated format of the event. Neither Mr. Trump or Dr. Carson will participate in your debate if it's longer, and this is a letter that they wrote, if it is longer than 120 minutes, including commercials, and does not include opening and closing statements. The letter, obtained exclusively by NBC News, that was signed by both candidates, reads. So that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize an opening and closing statement was that vital to these two candidates. I also find it interesting that we're going to cap it at 2 hours, including commercials.
Wow.
Which, personally, it's like, hey, you know, if you do any live tweeting of an event like I do, I appreciate that. But you also have, even though they're restricting the number of candidates from participating, it's still, you're still going to have a good sized number. I can't think of the count off the top of my head. So you may actually, if you're going to have any type of substantive debate, it may need to go a little bit longer than 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it interesting. Of course, CNBC, you know, they don't want their ratings to go down, which is what will definitely happen if Trump is not involved. However, I would love to see a debate without Trump.
There you go. That would, yeah, it would be kind of refreshing, wouldn't it?
You know, Carson I would miss, but Trump, he's been sucking the air out of the room, and a lot of these debates have been about him.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I want to talk about issues. Get Trump out of it. If he wants to boycott, let him. Yeah. I think Republican voters need to hear where candidates stand on issues. And I think it's still going to be about personalities if he's involved. Hopefully CNBC will you know, change that. Maybe they take a different tact compared to Fox News and CNN. But I'm not going to hold my breath on that. So, story number two, Jeb Bush is tightening his belt.
Losing weight?
Well, he's cutting the fat off his budget. Politico reports on the first day of a two-day Iowa swing back in August, Jeb Bush flew from Davenport to Ankeny in a private plane. The next day, after he spent more than 4 hours bounding around the state fairgrounds in Des Moines, a top advisor attributed Bush's high energy level to having spent less time in transit. Those days are over, they say. Last week, Bush spent 3 days in Iowa, traveling again from Des Moines to the state's eastern edge, campaigning in the Mississippi River towns of Bettendorf and Muscatine, but this time he went by car. Mm. The campaign also canceled its reservations at the Tiny Hotel Blackhawk in nearby Davenport and staying instead at a cheaper hotel. More and more Bush is flying commercial. The high life has ended, said one Florida operative familiar with the campaign's operation. They're running a more modest operation the last 2 weeks, and the traveling party has definitely shrunk. It always amazed me how many people these candidates travel with.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why? You know, I can see your campaign, you're definitely your campaign manager.
Sure.
I could even say see your communications director.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Why? Why would you need to travel with anybody other than that? Seriously. And actually, even the campaign manager is questionable because you could just be talking to them on, you know, strategists. No, they could stay in their office. You can consult by phone. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're, you know, they employ all sorts of strategists just blow my mind.
Yeah.
That's one thing the Jindal campaign said, that, you know, we're not spending tons of money on strategists who will probably give us bad advice. So
it makes good sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of money, Cruz leads the cash on hand crowd.
Wow.
Senator Ted Cruz reported more money in the bank than any. This is from the Washington Post. More money in the bank than any other GOP candidate as last quarter ended, according to figures released by the Federal Election Commission Thursday. Cruz's campaign raised $12.2 million last quarter, which he wasn't the leader last quarter. Ben Carson raised like $20 million, and Bush raised like $13.2 million, something like that. But that gives him a total of $26.5 million raised among the campaign so far. but he reported having $13.8 million in cash on hand, meaning he spent about 50% of what came in since his campaign started. For the third quarter, his spending rate is about 58%, which is pretty frugal.
Mm-hmm.
The total raised by Cruz falls short. Anyway, I already mentioned that, the $20.2 million raised by Ben Carson. But the burn rate, the rate at which Cruz is spending money, the Washington Report writes, or Washington Post writes, is a low compared to some of his competitors in the most recent reporting window. Florida Senator Marco Rubio tore through 81% of the money he pulled in during the third quarter, a high percentage compared with an overall burn rate of about 40% since Rubio announced his candidacy. And former Florida Governor Jeb Bush had a burn rate of 86%, which is why he's tightening his belt during the third quarter. Well, actually, that still may be after he's tightened his belt. I wonder what it was beforehand. Now, Scott Walker, he really burned through money, which is why he ended up getting out, because he employed all sorts of staff, all sorts of strategists. And frankly, some of these people are way overpaid, and they don't know what they're talking about.
Do you think that could happen with Mr. Bush?
Possibly. Possibly. I mean, some of the players that he's hired is the same old establishment who, you know, failed Romney.
Yeah.
So.
what a deal.
Yeah. And you know, some of his Iowa staff, not the best hires. I want to make a mention. David Kochel was a senior advisor hired by Jeb Bush. He was recently diagnosed with cancer. So I just want to encourage everybody to pray for David. Indeed. I'm not a fan of David's, but politics aside, let's pray for him, because it's a pretty aggressive form of cancer and he's going to need our prayers. So
indeed,
I want to mention that. Jindal slams the CNBC debate criteria from caffeinatedthoughts.com. Be sure to read that. That's a great news site, by the way, caffeinatedthoughts.com. He writes, he said, no candidate for president has won the nomination of my party without winning in either Iowa or New Hampshire in the modern era. And I suspect that pattern will continue this year. I've been gaining ground and campaigning hard in the state where Republicans will cast the first real votes for president in 2016, Iowa. While some in Washington have wrongly suggested Iowa and New Hampshire should not be the first states in future elections, they are in fact the first states in this election. By ignoring the early states, instead looking at only meaningless national name ID polls, the networks are in effect trying to create a national primary. They are attempting to winnow the field long before voters in Iowa and New Hampshire get to cast their ballots by restricting access to debates. The primary beneficiary of this process is Donald Trump, he says, a candidate completely devoid of substance, but a candidate who is well known nationally for his TV show and his juvenile antics. He lacks in depth or seriousness. He more than makes up for with national name recognition from his long career as an entertainer. And basically, they're cutting off debate. And this is even the second tier debate. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure they're going to end up having a second tier debate.
Wow.
At 2.5% national average, Jindal and Rick Santorum don't meet that criteria currently, and they're probably not going to by the time October 28th rolls around.
Wow.
But Jindal has seen movement in Iowa and has actually been tied for fifth. One poll, the most recent Iowa poll I've seen, at 6%. So he can make a case. I'm making some gains in early primary state.
Sure.
He's, you know, woefully behind in New Hampshire. But in Iowa, which is his strategy, he's focused on Iowa.
Yeah, he is focused on us.
He could say, hey, you know, I'm making some ground. So it's sad to see. Just include those two people in the debate. I mean, we're talking two candidates. And I think they would increase the quality of the debate on policy, because they're both policy wonks.
That's right.
Anyway, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Your well-meaning post just blew up. That friendly debate quickly escalated into ugly insults. You figure it's time to delete it and take a sabbatical from social media. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. It seems that the internet has made it all too easy for people to vent their problems, proclaim their opinions, and draw others into their drama. But don't be so quick to blame the advances on social media. It is something else that's prompting people to pull the trigger on the send or submit button. Basically, this is not an internet problem, but an internal problem. Jesus warned, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Before unplugging from technology, take time to visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org or call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465.
Hey, Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range, Crossroads Shooting Sports. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. For self-defense and personal protection for your home and family, go to crossroadsshooting.com. So that's crossroadsshooting.com, crossroadsshooting.com. And now we come to their favorite part of the show, and we're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable, yet you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up!
From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Associated Press reports, a union and workers are complaining about unhealthy working conditions at an unlikely place. The offices of a Pennsylvania County Health Department. It is true. WPXI-TV reports that Service Employees International Union, SEIU, not my favorite people, Local 668 says Allegheny County Health Department facilities in Pittsburgh have problems with mold and asbestos.
Mm.
That's just incredible. Because they probably would fine other businesses that have this issue.
Sure.
The workers say that they've been told the health department will decide in December whether to renovate or sell the buildings, but they've already worked too long exposed to health hazards. Employee Dawn Black tells the station she's worked there since 1999, and they've been telling us since then they're going to move us to a better building.
Wow.
I'm surprised they haven't been racked with a lawsuit yet.
Yes.
That's incredible. Talk about hypocritical.
Yes.
Because they would tighten the screws on any other businesses exposing.
Yeah. 16 years.
16 years. That's incredible. And you know, we've got a little bit of time. I had a second story that it was a tie. I think we have time enough for me to bring this. So you get a bonus today. I'm gonna bring up another story because this is too good not to share. Do you realize Santa Claus was elected to the North Pole City Council?
Really?
Yes.
There's people there that can vote, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Well, whoa. There's a town. There's a town. This is from Reuters. A man with a soft white beard who prides himself on being an advocate for young children has been elected as a city councilman in North Pole, Alaska. And North Pole is a town just outside of Fairbanks, Alaska.
Okay.
The rosy-cheeked 68-year-old candidate, who happens to be named Santa Claus, I think he had that legally changed, won a three-year term in the community of about 2,200 residents southeast of Fairbanks, according to the election results released on Tuesday. My thanks to everyone who voted for me and all who supported my campaign, Claus wrote on Facebook. I'll do my best for all. I'm sure he'll also be jolly
indeed,
while doing it.
I'm sure he
Claus,
will.
Who legally changed his name from Thomas Patrick O'Connor about a decade ago while living in Nevada, said he's been an advocate for legislation and services that benefit at-risk children. He could be seen in recent days wearing his trademark red velvet outfit and holding campaign sign in North Pole, the namesake of the home of the legendary Christmas gift giver. Claus was one of two write-in candidates for two vacant seats in the Sook, so he wasn't really running against anybody.
So he won on a write-in?
Yeah, well, there was two open seats and nobody officially ran.
Okay.
So he was a write-in candidate, and he'll take office October 26th. North Pole City Clerk Kathy Weber said in an interview with Reuters, Claus said that calling state lawmakers and saying this is Santa Claus from North Pole either got their attention or quick though temporary rejection. It's been a valuable tool for developing legislation to protect children.
Well,
good for him.
Indeed,
and I share his heart for at-risk children. You can't make that up, though. Yeah. Santa Claus is a city council person in North Pole. So, anyway, I wonder if he keeps a naughty and nice list of legislators.
Ooh, he ought to if he doesn't.
Right, right. So, with that, if you have a story you'd like to share, send it to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com, where we'll give you the credit or the blame. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Shane Vanderhart. I'll see you next week.
See you, folks.
Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Crossroads Shooting Sports. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The pro shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. Go to crossroadsshooting.com for self-defense and personal protection for your home and family. That's crossroadsshooting.com.